Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Time for Ask the Doctor. So call us with your coronavirus and vaccine questions. The number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And here's where we stand in Massachusetts right now in regard to the COVID-19 pandemic. Some 2 million people, more than 30% of state residents, are now fully vaccinated. Vaccine appointments are now available to anyone over 16, at least in theory. Test positivity rates for COVID-19 continues to hover about above 2%. Hospitalizations have inched up, thanks in large part to those variants. And that locally developed Johnson & Johnson vaccine sits in storage. To our north, New Hampshire has lifted its mask mandate, even if the state's chief medical officer urges residents to wear a mask. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker says he'll keep the state's mask mandate in place until more people are vaccinated. So joining us now to answer our questions and yours, Dr. Cassandra Pierre, acting hospital epidemiologist and an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and assistant professor at the Boston University School of Medicine. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Dr. Pierre. Good to have you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Also with us, Dr. Benjamin Linus. He's an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the Boston University School of Medicine. Welcome to you as well, Dr. Linus.
Great to be here. Thanks.
So let me start, and I'll start with you, Dr. Pierre. Let me start with the J&J vaccine. It's been shelved for a week now after reports of dangerous blood clots in six women who got the vaccine out of close to 7 million doses administered. What's the latest on the investigation and what we know about that?
Well, we are still waiting for more details about a potential link between J&J and these blood clots in, as you say, at least six women. But we're hearing from Anthony Fauci that we may have more information later on during the week. We're hoping for more information about both whether there is a connection and if there is there a population of people who can be safely vaccinated with J&J without incurring that undue risk? But we still are overwhelmingly seeing evidence of a potential positive or a positive risk, a benefit versus risk, given the state that we are in a current pandemic vis-a-vis administration of the J&J. So we're hoping for more information from this after this, during this pause.
Well, we'll be watching that. And listeners, again, if you have questions that you want to ask the doctors, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And I believe we have a caller, Michelle, who's on the line from Lexington. Michelle, go ahead. You're on the air. Good to have you.
Hi. Thank you. I'm fully vaccinated. I went and visited my daughter in Charleston, South Carolina. I masked in all public places. She's vaccinated. Her fiance is one vaccination. I came home and I have worn a mask in my home with my husband who's not vaccinated and we're sleeping in separate rooms. Is that really necessary?
What do you think, Dr. Linus? What's your advice to Michelle?
Well, these questions are always tricky, and it comes down to risks and benefits. There's an element of time in the sort of the personal timeline of making decisions, so it's hard for me to give you a specific recommendation. But I can tell you that time does matter, and your time since potential exposure matters. And so, you know, after 5 to 7 days of being home, I think that whatever small risk there is of transmission is that much smaller, and it would probably be okay. We know that the vaccine does decrease the risk of transmission by about 90%, which is quite spectacular, actually. But in this time when there's not everyone is vaccinated yet. And so that does leave a 10% transmission, you know, 10% of that transmission is left. And that 10% is enough to keep sustaining epidemic while we're waiting for people to get vaccinated. I think this will be enough. 90% will be great. I think it can get us out of this. But in the meantime, we're not all there yet. So people have to remember there's still some risk of transmission.
And I'd like to ask both of you doctors this question. We're not all there yet. And obviously, you know, we have to continue to take precautions and social distancing and masking. What's your best guess when, not when we're going to be 100% there, but when there is going to when it's really going to feel like this pandemic is largely behind us? Let me come back to you, Dr. Pierre.
I think that's also a difficult question to answer. You know, we are finally in this stage where we are vaccinating people 16 years of age and older in the state. And it's a wonderful moment. But we really can't lose momentum. We have to ensure that we are not seeing what we've seen in other areas where people who are perceiving themselves at less risk for the virus are less interested in the vaccine and may have more concerns about vaccine side effects forego getting vaccinated, and we see some saturation effect. We need to ensure that we keep our messaging high, that we sustain momentum and get to that hopefully 80% that we're thinking may equate to community immunity. So obviously you can't give you a timeline on when that will be reached, but I think that will go a long way to sustaining a sense of safety, reducing the risk of individual infection, the risk of transmission that Dr. Linus has pointed out. And also, you know, sustaining community health with this immunity. But that's only part of the equation, unfortunately. That'll give us a sense locally. But, you know, until we get better with distributing these vaccines globally, there's always the threat, of course, of other issues outside of our control, including COVID variants. So it's going to be a bit of time, but we can absolutely do this. We just need to sustain momentum to get as many people vaccinated as possible.
Well, speaking of sustaining momentum, I want to talk a little bit about public health versus politics. And it seems like so much it has a political dividing line these days. A recent poll shows that somewhere between a third to a half of Republicans don't want to get vaccinated. And that polling was done before the Johnson & Johnson vaccine news. So here's Dr. Anthony Fauci on CBS News yesterday.
I find that really extraordinary because those are the ones that keep saying you're encroaching on our liberties by asking us to wear masks and to do the kinds of restrictions that are public health issues. The easiest way to get out of that is to get vaccinated. So it's almost paradoxical that they don't want to get vaccinated. We can't be pejorative to them. We've got to try and convince them why it's so important.
So, Dr. Linus, from your perspective in the field, how can the public health community convince the skeptics?
Right. Well, that's sort of the question of the hour. I wish I could answer that straightforwardly. We're all trying to find that out. I think Dr. Fauci makes a fantastic point, which is that it's absolutely critical that people don't become judgmental and pejorative, and that we try to listen to hear what the concerns are, and then also to seek out trusted voices to that community. It's going to take dialogue and talking to folks and listening and hearing what their concerns are and actually responding to those things. Simply screaming data and yelling at people they should do this is not going to work because it doesn't work in any other public health effort. It really does take the hard job of listening and responding and trying to find a dialogue and trying to find the narrative that generates trust.
Right. Let me ask you both about mask mandates. I'm talking to you on this day from New Hampshire, actually, which has dropped its statewide mandate. Governor Sununu dropped it at the end of last week. It was curious to me, though, because his chief medical officer said, but keep wearing masks. It's essential that you keep wearing masks. Massachusetts has not dropped the mask mandate, but some public health officials are saying that it can be lifted for outside gatherings. Dr. Pierre, what's your take on how we should be thinking about masking up at this moment in the pandemic?
Right. So I think it's important to just keep an eye on what we're seeing in our community and what we know from science. At this point, we have not achieved the higher levels of vaccination that we need to confer that community immunity. And at the same time, as we know, we are experiencing transmission of variants of concern that cause higher levels of transmissibility in our community as well. So while we deal with those things, as we try to vaccinate as many people as possible, we need to rely on the things that we know work, which includes masking. Now, for groups of individuals who have been vaccinated in a high level, it's true that wearing a mask outside might not be entirely necessary. But many people are going to confuse that lack of a mask mandate with not wearing masks indoors, at gatherings, in places where people are really at risk for higher levels of transmission, especially if there are lower levels of vaccinated individuals in those groups to shield people who are unvaccinated from infection. And so at this point in our pandemic, we are still going through a pandemic, even though, you know, we've been feeling that our numbers are going lower, that our deaths are dropping. This is still something that poses a great risk to all of us. And so it is important to continue to wear those masks, you know, follow public health guidance, and certainly wear those masks within 6 feet of individuals, whether indoors or out at this point in our pandemic. Mm.
I want to go back to our calls. Janet is calling from Cape Ann. Go ahead, Janet. You're on the air. Good to have you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Anthony. First, I'd like to just say I just absolutely love it when you are a host on Point and on Radio Boston. Thank you.
Second, well, you're very nice to say so. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you. I love you. Anyways, both my husband and I are fully vaccinated. We are strong mask wearers and so forth. One of us has type 2 diabetes and hypertension, and there's blindness also. We have a person who is supposed to be coming to the house who is from New York, who is supposed to work with myself and my dog in training. The concern is she is not vaccinated, and I'm not sure how to handle it. Should I tell her not to come?
All right, Janet, that's a great question. I'm going to hold that question, and we're going to have the doctors answer it, but I want to take one more call from George, who's calling from the Mass Pike. Go ahead, George. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to say that I have a large network of friends and family where everyone is vaccinated and people are starting to have these small gatherings like dinners. And I just wonder how to deal with something like that with a large network of people who are vaccinated. But yeah, what kind of precautions should we still take?
George, it's a great question. Dr. Linus, let me start with you and start with Janet's question, which seemed like an important one.
Sure, absolutely. So I think the simple bottom line solution to Janet's question is that if she has the visitor from New York who's training her pet, wear a mask in the, if everyone wears a mask in the house, that's absolutely appropriate and safe. And that really at that point, the person who might be assuming some risk is actually the person coming into the home, not the fully vaccinated people who are living in the house. But I think that if everybody, they are vaccinated, the vaccinated folks, their transmission risk is cut down by roughly 90%. And then also wearing a mask, that's absolutely responsible and is an appropriate thing to do. And the second question, these are the hardest questions now. I think the second question around the network of vaccinated.
Our listeners are good at that. They're good at hard questions.
Yeah, right. I know. There's a lot of hard questions. And I personally have found this to be one of the most challenging, not the questions have become extremely challenging now because I felt like I used to have a decent sense of what the right answer was. And now it's really a brave new world. It's hard to say. But I would say that in a network of all vaccinated folks, having dinner parties in private settings is exactly what I would say we should be going to start doing now. It's important to recuperate all these relationships that have been suffering and lost for more than a year now. And when everyone in the room is vaccinated, that's one of the benefits of the vaccine. I don't think we should fall into a collective nihilism and never allow ourselves a joy at this point. And so a dinner party of vaccinated people is absolutely appropriate and is a great way to get back into the post-COVID world. I think it's too soon to go to a nightclub, and I would argue too soon to go just to go party at the beach. But to have private gatherings with other vaccinated folks is fantastic.
Dr. Pierre, do you agree with that? Do you concur with your colleague that this is the time to start celebrating with fellow vaccinated people around the dinner table?
I absolutely agree. I think, you know, we have our immunity. We need to enjoy it. It's been hard won. And so, we should flex that. The things to keep in mind, though, are, you know, whether in your group, and hopefully it's a smaller group of 10 people or less of vaccinated individuals, whether you have family members who might be at higher risk of, you know, the severe complications of COVID and have been unvaccinated themselves or might be difficult to attain immunity due to severe immunodeficiencies. For those individuals, you might want to rethink the behavior or the activities that you engage in because as much as your risk of transmission to those individuals is dramatically lowered, as Dr. Linus has mentioned, it's not zero. So that would be the one potential factor to think about when you are going out. But yes, otherwise, it is time to start enjoying yourself in moderation and deliberately.
Well, hallelujah to that. Let me get one more call in. Jean is calling from Hamilton. Go ahead, Jean. You're on the air. Thanks for the call.
Hi. Yes, doctors. I was part of the AstraZeneca trial in Tufts, and I got unblinded because I am of the age that I was eligible. So I have received the vaccine, both shots. But I'm concerned that it's not approved in the United States. And will this hamper me? Should I get the Pfizer? How would I, what's your suggestion?
That's a great, another really interesting question. Dr. Linus, let me come to you for that.
Yeah, they're getting harder and harder. So I think that if you've received, well, one question is if you were in the clinical trial, do you know that you actually received two doses of the active compound and not a placebo? But let's keep it a hard question. I'll assume that this is two doses of that this is fully vaccinated with AstraZeneca vaccine. Then at that point, you're right. It doesn't have approval in the United States, but there's a lot of efficacy data and it's absolutely approved around the world. And so I would suggest that you hold in there a little bit before seeking more vaccine, because we need to be vaccinating broadly. And it's not, you know, it takes a lot to get an appointment right now. But that's a hard call because it's not approved in the United States. You're correct.
Hard call. Well, thank you for that, caller. And doctors, thank you for your time today. It's always great to have you. I know our listeners always appreciate it. Dr. Cassandra Pierre, she's acting hospital epidemiologist and an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and assistant professor at the Boston University School of Medicine. Doctor, thank you.
Thank you.
And Dr. Benjamin Linus, an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the Boston University School of Medicine. Doctor, thank you as well. Always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Radio Boston, that is our show for today. Our program is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman, with help from Steve Gelman and Hafsha Qureshi. Our engineer today is Marquise, and our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.